Good evening. Welcome to the Manasquan School District's Board of Education regular public Board of Education meeting for April 28th, 2015. Call to order. Our opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please, Sandy.
Mr. Burns.
Here.
Mr. Catani.
Here.
Mr. Clayton.
Here.
Mrs. DePalma.
Here.
Mr. Fiore.
Here.
Mr. Gardner.
Here.
Mrs. Garrett Muley. Mr. Pellegrino.
Here.
Mr. Percy.
Here.
Mrs. Smith. Mr. Serino.
Here.
Mr. Walsh. Shane McNamara. Craig Lappin.
Here.
We have quorum.
Mr. Walsh is traveling, and we welcome Mr. Piercy and Mr. Vitale's place. Our mission statement: Manasquan Schools District mission is to empower students to reach their potential and become lifelong learners. We strive to ensure that students play an active role in their education, are guided by rigorous academic standards aligned with the New Jersey core curriculum content standards, and function within the community that regards students, educators, and parents as full participants in the educational process. We dedicate ourselves to the realization of a supportive learning environment that nurtures growth, personal integrity, and mutual respect. Our statement to the public: oftentimes it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it's placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that the final action may be taken. We are going to switch the agenda briefly to introduce Assemblyman Sean Keene and Assemblyman Dave Rival. Their schedule doesn't allow them to wait, so we're going to have them go first.
Fix this light.
I want to thank the board for allowing us to come up with another prior commitment, but I just wanted to start pleasure on behalf of the Senator Singer and of course Senator Sean Keene and myself to present resolutions to our great state champs here in Manasquan High School, the women girls basketball team.
Yes, we're going to show. We did a video for you ladies, but we'll show it after we do the presentation. Want to read the resolution to them?
Well, on behalf of the Senate and Assembly, we just want to congratulate the girls for their achievement. We know they kept Monmouth County on pins and needles between all the people who lived, go to St. Rose and Manasquan. It was a very anxious moment for this area for a couple weeks. And I can attest to both parents who have parents here and parents who were over at St. Rose. It was getting contentious, but Manasquan prevailed. We're very fortunate that you guys did. We're very happy for you. And that's why we have a resolution for each and every one of you and your coaches on behalf of your accomplishment. Representing New Jersey very well. And for that, we say thank you.
If I could just weigh in on Dave's comments. Once again, young ladies and your coaching staff, you know, you put Manasquan on the map. Not that it needed to be put on the map. Everybody knows Manasquan, but it was really a sensation. You know, statewide, everybody was talking about the Manasquan girls basketball program. It was the hottest ticket in town. Nobody could get a ticket to get to the games. And that tells you something. I know you're all going off eventually, whether this year or next year, to bigger and better things, but you know, you probably never forget this experience. The people that live around here will never forget it. It was once in a lifetime. Hopefully there'll be more of these, but this was a great thing that everybody got to watch. Being fans and people that live around here, it was really an unforgettable experience. So I want to just join in. This resolution was passed by the State Senate and the State Assembly recognizing your outstanding accomplishments. And all we can say is thank you for your great work, your dedication, your success, which is really phenomenal, and just for being great members of the Jersey Shore community. Thanks and congratulations to everybody.
back, yes, to the Quanathon, because we want to recognize them now as well. Wait, music started. Okay, good. Fellas?
Who's after these guys? Just kidding. We want to take a moment also to talk about the Quanathon. We read about it every year in the paper, that great success of the students and the leadership of the teachers that put this together. At any time, we can have an opportunity to instill in our children the ability to go out and help others and take that into their adult life is tremendous. And you know, we saw that more so right here in Manasquan with Superstorm Sandy, how we can all come together. And it's what you learn in school is great life lessons, but to have a situation where you're raising money for people with cancer and actually making a difference in people's health and well-being is really critical. So we wanted to present a resolution as well to the committee, Paul Battaglia and Pat McKenzie. And I know, we're going to miss Pat because Pat's retiring, and you've been with the program from the beginning, so we thank you for starting it off, and hopefully you're handing the baton off accordingly, so we continue to break it off even better, because don't mess with success. You guys are doing a great job. So we have a resolution we'd like to present to you and Paul, and on behalf of all of our workers with the Quanathon Committee. Sure.
Yep. No, just thank you to everybody involved in the Quanathon. Outstanding work you do, the hard work and the dedication, and everybody, you deserve a lot of credit for all your hard work.
Thank you. Future committee member.
Ladies, you can come over here so the assemblymen can get pictures with you, would you please? Coach?
Come on in here, you can come to
me. Celebrities? Congratulations. Who wants to accept the resolution for the picture?
I will.
Can you guys move around this way?
You guys earned it.
Stella, please.
Congratulations, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, that was good.
I pushed out a lot of wires.
Oh, no.
That was a bar.
That's all of it?
Obviously.
No, they're leaving now. On behalf of the board and the community, we just want to thank Mr. Keane and Mr. Rival for coming out tonight and recognizing the girls and the people of Swanapoo. So thank you. Now the long-awaited video.
To those I call friends, to those I don't yet know, all the places we've been, all the places we'll go. You see, every ending's the start of a beginning, every defeat gets you closer to winning. Yeah, it's all about perspective, that's why my frowns are the reason that I'm grinning. How could I love the peace if I've never seen the valleys? It's like loving the streets and not knowing about the alleys. This life's not over, haven't seen the finale. There's eyes on your life, so at least try to make yours a pep rally.
Under the light.
Excited about. And as I watched, I was amazed at the character that you portrayed on the court, because I saw a group of above average athletes grow to become excellence, centered around one of the best players I've seen play in high school basketball, in such a way where it was a total team effort. And I compliment you for that. You truly demonstrated unselfishness and a desire to win above all else, as a team, not as individuals. So coaches, I thank you for developing that. It was a great thing to watch. So tonight, we wanted to focus on the Board of Education saying thank you. We have a picture for you. We have an example of the plaques that you will receive. And do you want to explain why we don't have plaques tonight? Well, I'll read what the plaque says. It says, this is head coach Lisa Kokoda's plaque. Massillon High School Girls Varsity Basketball 2014-15, OBM Christmas Classic Championship, Shore Conference Class A Central Championship, Central Jersey Group State Championship. The group is wrong, so we're going to correct it. So we'll have them for you tomorrow. They had the wrong group on it. Central Jersey Group 2 State Championship and Tournament of Champions. For each girl, we'll get a plaque. They'll be ready tomorrow. Mr. Cornegay will have them for you by the end of school tomorrow. So as we call you up, we will give you a picture of the team tonight and just recognize you. And Ryan, you want to say a few words?
Oh, yeah. I just want to say Duke has their Coach K and Massillon has their Coach K, Coach Cody. Coach Cody and his staff did an outstanding job. The players are doing a tremendous job for us this season. I recall before the season started, Coach K and I had a meeting in my office and we talked about the season. Like you say, where's the team going to be rated this year? She said, well, we might be rated number one, but I hope we're not. And they were rated number one from the beginning of the season. And the kids said to her, Coach, we got this. And as you can see, we got this. We won all the championships, and it's a credit to the girls and the staff for a job well done. Thank you and congratulations.
We also have something to commemorate Lisa that you were chosen Coach of the Year for 2014 from the National Federation of State High School Association Coaches, and congratulations to that.
A little put on the spot, but that's okay. Just, you know, we're always honored to be able to represent our school and our community and our, you know, just everything that we are able to represent. And, you know, it really is an honor to be able to go out there and, you know, to look out in the stands and you travel all the way to Trenton and to see a packed house filled with Manasquan gear. That really is just an amazing thing to see. So it's a credit to, you know, everybody who's a part of the community, you know, the Board of Ed, the administration, all the teachers and students who really supported us throughout this journey. And we're just so fortunate to be able to represent all of you on a public stage. So thank you again for all of your support.
Assistant Coach Luke, Luke, come up, say one. Assistant Coach Ryan McGrath. Julian Black. Maggie Kelly. Thank you. Andrew Kurtz. Dara Mabry. Catherine Misonis. Emma McMenamin. Molly Reed.
Lena Mabry, WOBM Christmas Classic MVP, 2,523 career points, the Asbury Park Press Shore Conference Player of the Year, First Team All Shore, Shore Conference Coaches Association, Shore Conference Player of the Year, First Team All Shore, A Central Division Player of the Year, First Team All Division, StarLegendNewJersey.com, New Jersey Player of the Year, First Team All State, First Team All Group 2, Monmouth County Player of the Year, Madison Square Garden, Boston, New Jersey Player of the Year, Gatorade, New Jersey Player of the Year, McDonald's All-American Game MVP, Jordan Brand Classic National Game, Naismith Semifinals for National Player of the Year, 2014 and 2015, Madison High School, Lena Mabry.
Player of the Year, Marina is recognized for her athletic excellence, academic achievement, and exemplary character. New Jersey Girls Basketball Player of the Year.
Is Kevin here?
Yes, he is.
Yes.
We're very fortunate to have a great staff here at Madison One. And as an example of that wonderful staff that we have, we also were very lucky to have Kevin Highland as our trainer. And just exemplifying that, in 2015, he was awarded the Gatorade Secondary School Trainer of the Year Award. We have some of you too, Kevin, to come forward. Ladies, we're going to have cake, so if you could stay for the cake, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's been our practice to focus on our Board of Education Students of the Month. And behind me, you can see the slide focusing on exactly how these children are chosen. Students serve as a role model, their peers, they're academically motivated, they demonstrate leadership in and out of the classroom and a positive attitude, and involved in extracurricular activities. They perform school and community service activities as well. Tonight, we'd like to congratulate the Madison Board of Education High School Students of the Month. Joseph, Maimon, Mamoni. One more time. Thanks, Brian. Joseph here, and you also get Wally Bucks. And Jack Ledecky. Jack, are you here? We'll make sure they get that, they receive that through the school mail tomorrow. Madison Board of Education congratulates Madison High School Students of the Month, Logan, Nadal, and Matthew Paterzo. And they're at baseball. The Manasquan Elementary School, our choice for Student of the Month is Richard Calabro. Also tonight, we'd like to recognize our Teachers of the Year. For the Manasquan Elementary School, chosen as Teacher of the Year, Mrs. Joan Aiken. Joan has been in the district for 14 years, and I'd just like to say what appears on her star. When a teacher gifts a child with the love of learning, life becomes full of promise and possibility. And for 14 years, as a language speech therapist, you've been doing this for children. And I thank you. Congratulations.
I would just like to say that working in Manasquan Schools is such a privilege. From my administrators to my colleagues and friends, but most especially my wonderful students and their families. And this is literally the icing on the cake. Thank you so much. It's been such an honor. Thank you.
Manasquan High School selected as the Teacher of the Year, Mrs. Patricia McKenzie.
It has been a pleasure. It really has been the time of my life. It's been 20 great years. I've worked with phenomenal administrators and teachers. I can't say enough about our students. I think we as parents should be very thankful and fortunate that we have the children that we have, because it does make our lives, you know, that much easier. I have to say, though, that obviously I think my own family, which my husband is here with me tonight, Brad, but I also want to send a special thanks to Paul Battaglia, because if it wasn't for him, he really has made my last 6 years running Swanathon to be just a beyond a phenomenal, you know, 6 years. So thanks. Okay, thank you.
Take a 5-minute recess so we can have cake. It would be awesome. Sandy, shall I eat the cake here, or shall I?
The budget process has been very collaborative. Everyone's had a hand in it. And of course, I want to thank the people that work in the business office. I see Mrs. Reed is here. Thank Mrs. Reed and everyone that works in the business office for the hours they put in. I think from going through the process that everyone should be pleased with the overall outcome. And I will turn it over to Dr. Cade. Yes. You know what, before we do that, we're going to have our student representative report, so that because he might not want to sit through the budget presentation. So, Mr. Lapham.
Yes, my name is Craig Lapham, president of the student council. I'd like to apologize for my dress attire. I did just come from a tennis match, so. But,
had the tennis team, though?
Yes, we did win, in case you guys were wondering. So just what's going on with student council. If you guys remember a couple board meetings ago, Matt Ertle did present his Eagle Scout project to us, and he was in need of some funds. So we figured, student council figured that it would be a good idea to help him, you know, raise those funds. So we're actually doing a sort of thing called Cupcake Wars, where actually the freshmen are going against the sophomores tomorrow after school at 2:30 in Center Hall, where they will be selling, you know, cupcakes against one another. Obviously, the one who sells the most wins, and juniors and seniors will be going against each other on Thursday. Also, we are planning to have sort of a sort of soccer-ish sort of event go on at Green Acres sometime in the future. We're talking to You Cannot Be Your Place, so Mr. and Mrs. Dayton, who run that. And for those of you who know of it or who don't know of it, but we plan on like getting these big bubble blow up things that you put on yourselves, and it's just like, you know, you run around, you can beat each other up, but, you know, it's all fun and games. You don't really get hurt with the bubble wrapped around you. Also, you know, junior and senior class reps are busy with all the activities that are going to be involved with prom that's coming up. Junior prom is May 22nd. Senior prom is May 29th. And lastly, May 15th is a big day coming up. We have student council sort of running the Paint the Town Pink, where, you know, we have different, like, activities such as flocking, where the flamingos are on people's lawns. You might have seen those. And, you know, different people wear pink. Also, that day is when teachers are, you know, not required to, but, you know, they're encouraged to ride bikes to schools, and their spots might even be given up to students, so I hear. And also the blood drive, the annual blood drive, is taking place on May 15th. So thank you.
Thank you, Craig. If you didn't want to sit through the budget presentation, we'd understand.
Dr. Cajun. Thank you. A systemic sound and aligned organization has to have a focus, and that focus has to be set on belief statements. Feelings that the members of that organization have about the organization that they see every day come to reality. And behind me is a mission statement, the mission statement for the Manasquan School District. And there's some words that jump out at us on that mission statement that I think we should focus on as we move in through our budget season, our budget presentation for 2015-16. Empowering students to take an active role in their education, being aligned to the core curriculum and New Jersey standards. Functioning within the community that regards students, educators, and parents as full participants in the educational process. To create such a supportive learning environment, it takes a focus on fiscal responsibility and capital improvements. And hopefully, at the end of our budget presentation this evening, you'll feel that our focus was well meant, fiscally sound, and you can see how we've maintained the high academic standards that have been set here in the Manasquan School District. We had a timeline as we approached budget season. March 17th, we had our tentative budget adoption. On the 27th, we got our approval by the Executive County Superintendent, which brought us to the 28th in our public hearing. And between the 27th and tonight's public meeting, we had two presentations for the community, where we highlighted our vision, and then we highlighted how we would meet our vision in a fiscally responsible manner through the presentation of this budget. This budget provides for an implementation of some new concepts, as well as maintaining our current cost offerings. But this budget allows the district to move forward. Next year, we'll see the implementation of a New World History 9th Grade Honors course. We'll see the implementation of a high school academy of engineering, a new high school robotics course, an Italian 1 course after we expand our language selections. Grade 12 AP statistics will be offered in a pilot format. The implementation of a new grade 7 Algebra 1 summer transition program. And I see Craig Buren here this evening. Craig, I want to thank you for that, for being forward thinking and bringing that to me. I really appreciate that. And also the implementation of an accelerated 7th grade STEM program, which Colleen and Rich and the group that I know Colleen was here before, behind Paul, and your committee has been working diligently to bring to fruition, and I thank you for that. That's very exciting to me. The major factors that impacted tonight's budget are the enrollment, which we'll talk about later in my superintendent's report, tuition adjustments, our flat state aid, the community disaster loan funds, out-of-district placements, our insurance premiums. These are things that you can read behind me, and these are all important aspects to be concerned about from a fiscal view as we sit down and we build that budget, which is going to impact the academics of the district. For the budget breakdown, I'm going to turn to my business administrator, Ms. Coates.
The proposed budget for 15-16 school years in the amount of $25,133,477, which is down $425,226 from the current year's budget. That's also down 1.66%. The amount allocated from fund balance to support this budget is $373,503. That also can be referred to as direct taxpayer relief. The administrative cost per pupil is $1,815, again down from $1,861 in the 14-15 revised budget. The regional limit for this area of the state of New Jersey is $1,941, so you can see that we are below that. The proposed pupil cost associated with the 15-16 budget is $14,174, which is up from the 14-15 revised budget, $13,983, which is the proposed per pupil cost in the current budget. This slide depicts the total revenues that we expect will come into the school year, into the school district next school year. And this chart shows the 14-15 original revenues as compared to the proposed revenues for the 15-16 school year and the difference. You can see tax levy is up by $377,251, which is 3%. Tuition revenue is down by $763,000. Our state aid is flat this year, and that includes state aid in the areas of special education, security, transportation, adjustment aid, park readiness aid, and per pupil growth aid. Extraordinary aid and miscellaneous revenue is up by $10,000. Fund balance and reserves are increased by $128,503. Community development loan funds will be down in the 15-16 budget by $50,349. Federal grants and entitlements are also down by $83,034. And debt service is down by $44,100. So the total difference between the 14-15 budget and the proposed 15-16 in the category of revenues is $425,226. That's the increase.
The community disaster loan monies that are reflected in this budget, the district was approved for up to $1.4 million of CDL funds for the school year, for the fiscal year 15-16. The board is approved requesting $839,651 for the 15-16 budget. Of that, $376,699 will be used towards tuition adjustments due to the sending districts. $462,952 will be used to offset general expenses. The total 15-16 CDL budget is lower than the 14-15 budget by $50,349. Also reflecting the budget in the general fund operating budget, state aid, there was a 0% increase in the aid from the state for this year, projected for 15-16. And state aid accounts for only 2.47% of our general fund budget. In some districts, that number is quite high. When we refer to the general fund balance, it's in essence the board savings account. It's limited by law to be the greater of $250,000 or 2% of the general fund budget. Anything accumulated over this must be designated in that subsequent year as taxpayer relief, which you saw in Ms. Coates described. You can look right behind me at the excess fund balance history. And I'll turn over to general fund revenue documentation.
As you can see from the pie chart, it specifically focuses on areas where the fund revenue comes from. And the two points I'd like to have you take a look at, the tuition revenue, which represents 36.25%, and the tax levy, 54.57%. You can see the fund balance, which is rolled over, as well as the miscellaneous revenue, and the CDL portion, which is 3.54%. We don't get too much state aid, but you can see the majority of our monies come from tuition and the tax levy here behind me. Where do those total appropriations come from? That's what Lynn's going to tell us about now.
So the chart that you see behind us, this is a breakdown of the total appropriations by category for the 14-15 school year, as opposed to the 15-16 proposed appropriations. And the difference column is on the far right. So your total general current expense for the 15-16 school year is up by $84,821. Capital outlay expenses will be down by $82,913. The increase in capital reserve is down by $300,000. And interest deposit to capital reserve, which is required, stayed the same at approximately $50. The total special revenue funds are down by $83,034. And the total debt service fund is also down by $44,100. The debt service fund is similar to your mortgage payments that you make, you know, in your home. This is a payment that we make regarding the projects that have been here in the past. So we're our bond schedule is on a slight decline for next year. And then the total expenditures or appropriations are $25,133,477, which is 1.66% less than the 14-15 school year, or $425,226. In your handout, you have an additional four slides that we will not have on the screen this evening, and I just want to describe what they are to you. The chart that we just had on the PowerPoint is the summary chart. The next four slides in your presentation are the detail by category, and they relate to the summary chart that I just spoke about. So they're more for your information, but we're not going to go into detail with them this evening.
Part of our mission is to empower students to reach their full potential. One of the major initiatives that was undertaken last year was to move forward with a one-to-one technology program. And we will continue that initiative as we move into the 2015-2016 school year. Our technology budget will afford us the opportunity to expand our student mobile technology program one-to-one, hopefully, throughout the high school. We'll increase our internet bandwidth, and we'll also have new desktop mobile computers for the elementary school and primary grades. We intend to put large color format printers at the high school for the art and design program. Jesse, tenfold our internet will grow. What does that mean to us?
Much faster.
We're going to have a much faster internet. Thank you for that. What that means to us, I think, is that we should not have any problems with PARC testing next year, because the bandwidth which we'll be dealing with as the pipe leading out to the internet will be larger. Not to say that we had any problems with PARC this year. And also, with the programs being project focused, it would afford us the opportunity to get to more sites on the internet that are more integral to the learning process. Would you agree with that? Thank you. So we're looking forward to that technology as we move forward. The next slide focuses on discretionary versus fixed appropriations. And I don't really have to read the numbers to you, but you can see that we have some fixed focuses that we have to pay attention to, which every district has. And then we have those discretionary expenses that we feel are important. And that's one thing that we'll talk about this evening as we move towards the referendum. We have some maintenance and capital outlay and equipment that we have to focus on. But again, as we looked at this pie graph and we cut up the discretionary expenses, we were very fiscally minded in regards to utilizing those that we had left over outside of our fixed expenses. I want to compliment the administrative team for their due diligence in cutting and recutting as we sent things back to the administrative team to look at it and say what they could do without. So I want to thank you for that. You're very frugal.
So the chart that you see now is the budget summary comparison from 14-15 to 15-16. And the top two lines on this chart, we've already discussed those numbers, and you've seen them before. That's the general fund tax levy and the debt service tax levy. But the next line is the assessed evaluation. In the 14-15 school year, the assessed valuation in Manasquan was $1.5 billion. And moving forward, currently, it's $1.59 billion. It is up $39.5 million, which is a 2.4% increase. So when you look at the tax levy and the assessed valuation, that gives you the proposed tax rate for the school district. So the 14-15 tax rate per $100 of assessed valuation is 0.873 cents. The proposed tax rate for next school year is 0.874 cents, which is a difference of 0.001. And just a footnote on the bottom of the slide, the assessed valuation pre-Superstorm Sandy was $1.6 billion. So we're almost back to that point. We're getting there. So this brings us to the proposed tax impact for the 15-16 school district budget. The average home right now in Manasquan has a value of $488,900. In 14-15, that average home had a school district tax for our district of $4,268.10. Our proposed budget for that same average home of $488,900, we expect to have a school district tax of $4,272.99. That's an increase of $4.89 a year, 41 cents a month, or 0.11%. And at this point, I would just like to note that there was a retraction in the CoStar. Thank you, Chris. I know you're here. Thank you for that. In an article, it was reported that our tax increase was going to be 11%, and it really is 0.11. So that was retracted. Yes. That's why I'm thanking Chris. Appreciate that. So here again, in another format, we're showing you the proposed tax impact. And on the left-hand column, your assessed value as it appears on your tax bill. So we've chosen a number of denominations, starting with 100, because you can easily multiply 100 times, you know, anything to a number that your assessment is valued at. And then we go to the median, 488.9, and then 500, 600, 700, and so forth. We list for you what your current school tax is this year, and then what your proposed tax will be in the 15-16 budget year, and then what your annual tax increase is for each one of those amounts, and then we break it down to what your monthly tax increase will be. So calculating your own personal tax increase, you would take your assessed value, which is on your tax bill, you divide it by 100, and you multiply it by the school tax increase. So right below, there's an example. So using the average residential assessment of $488,900 divided by 100, multiplying by 0.001, that equals $4.89. So you could go home and look at your tax bill, and you could calculate the same math to give you an idea of what your increase will be for next school year. And this is information for property tax reimbursement. It's also known as the senior freeze. There are eligibility requirements, including income, age, and residency, and those can be found at the website listed on the slide behind us. There's also a phone number that you can call. That department does not open until 8:30 in the morning. So if you're going to call that number for assistance, please wait until 8:30. And the filing deadline for 2014 is June 1st of 2015. So please, if you know anyone who might qualify, share this information with them. This presentation will also be posted on our district website. Before we move on to budget accomplishments, I also would like to thank the administrative team, the business office, especially Mrs. Kim Reed. I know she was here earlier, but I'm not sure if she's still here. She is the district bookkeeper, and she has been living, sleeping, breathing, eating budget with me for about the last 90 days. Also, the Board of Education Finance Committee. We had many meetings. They had a lot to ponder, a lot to consider, a lot to discuss. Also, the full Board of Education for our support. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Pellegrino.
So when we talk about the $4.89 average increase, what does this budget accomplish? Obviously behind me you see that this budget is reasonable,
fiscally responsible while addressing the needs of all our students. It maintains the current educational and extra and co-curricular programs. It continues the implementation of a new curriculum. It meets all the state mandates, and it provides needed staff and staff development. So, again, I want to thank everyone from the business office, the Finance Academy, administration for doing what I think is an excellent job of this year's budget. And I will open it up now to any questions from the board as related to the budget. Anyone have any questions? Seeing none, that concludes the budget presentation.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 8, Superintendent's Report and Informational Items. Dr. Cajun.
Thank you. Our first focus, my superintendent report as usual, is the attendance comparison in our enrollment. As of September 2014, we had 619 students in the elementary school. We have 994 students in the high school. As of March 2015, we had 1,617 students. Regarding our attendance comparison, in the high school, our attendance percentage, March 2014, was 93%. March 2015, it's 94.6%. In the elementary school, in March 2014, our attendance percentage was 95.1%. As of March 2015, it's 94.7%. Every month we focus on our fire drill and safety drill reports. And as we're all aware of what happened in Washington just recently, I just want to reinforce how important these drills are. And I want to thank my administration who's here this evening for so diligently going through those drills without question every month. In the high school, on March 23rd, we had a fire drill, which lasted 30 minutes. And on March 18th, we had a shelter-in-place drill, a safety drill, which lasted 10 minutes. In the elementary school, on March 4th, we had a tabletop security meeting drill. And on March 31st, we had an emergency lockdown exterior drill. Those drills were extremely important. Regarding our harassment, intimidation, and bullying reports for the month, in the elementary school, we had one confirmed harassment, intimidation, and bullying situation, which resulted in detention and counseling with the school counselor. At the high school, we also had one incident of harassment, intimidation, and bullying, which also resulted in counseling. Tonight, I would also like to focus on some things that came to my attention between now and the last meeting. Darian Barnes came to meet with Lynn and I to focus on a Quipley application, which everybody received in their updates on Friday. That application would allow the community to become actively engaged in a commerce process to help the school system. This would create an app that would go out to merchants in the community they serve and would enable merchants to support the local school district through passes to members and communication needs and news to all members that use the app, affording people who utilize the app to get sales in businesses, and from those sales, the members in the community would donate back to the school district an agreed upon sum because of those sales. Now, he met with us, and it's something that they're utilizing in schools in Washington and also in Texas, and they would like to start using it here. So he called me today, and he would like to bring this to the Board of Education just to show you exactly what it could do for us regards to raising funds for anything that the board felt they wanted to focus those funds on through the community of Manasquan. So I just want to bring that back to your attention because you did receive it in your Friday packet, and if you'd like to have them come and present, I could ask them to do that at our Committee of the Hall. Also, I spoke to Donna Cuddy at Brookdale Community College with a dual enrollment program, either by releasing the students or having Brookdale have classes taught here on campus. And that's something I would like to bring to the Board of Education's attention after discussing that with the principal of the high school as well as the guidance office. Okay? I think it allows us an opportunity to have our juniors and seniors get up to 12 credits by focusing on classes they could take through Brookdale. I also had an opportunity to speak to the Rose family this week with Lynn, focusing on a student from Bradley Beach that would like to come to Manasquan High School as a tuition student. And they have a meeting with the guidance department on Wednesday. And after that meeting with the guidance department, I would like to bring in on our May meeting exactly what the results were. But we want to develop a contract with Bradley Beach for a sending-receiving situation for that student as we move forward to accepting students from Bradley Beach in the future as one of the schools, Manasquan being one of the three schools that they could send students to. If you recall, I had brought this to the board once before. They had reached out to us, and they would like to start sending receiving with us again, that they had once done in the past a few years ago. Questions about that at all? Good. Also, I received a letter that I would like to read to you concerning our Finance Academy. Dear Superintendent Cajun, congratulations. I am pleased to share with you the outstanding results for Manasquan High School Academy of Finance on NAF's annual Academy Assessment. As you know, the National Academy Foundation is a network of career-themed academies that open doors for underserved high school students to viable careers. The NAF network has grown to 667 academies and serves more than 80,000 students across 38 states, including D.C. and the U.S. Virgin Islands. NAF's 97% graduation rate and network of dedicated educated business partners and students are testaments to the effectiveness of this model. Manasquan High School's Academy of Finance has earned model status, and I want to acknowledge the principal Rick Coppola and Academy Director John Driscoll for their hard work. This school is a shining example of what can be accomplished when districts and schools move to a culture of linking education and business to benefit students. Model academies will be highlighted at our national conference, NAF Next, which will be held this July in Anaheim, California. And I would assume that John and Rick would have the opportunity to go, but I have to see if they want to go to that, as they're given that honor. Thank you again for your commitment and support of the students, advisory board members, community partners, and the academy team in our NAF Academy. I just thought that was excellent. I wanted to share that with everybody. Also on your agenda is the conference in Philadelphia that we've spoken about before, the technology conference that's throughout the years has been in San Diego, San Antonio, and it's close to home in Philadelphia. So Jesse, Rick, myself, and two of the techs will be going to it. And we'll have a STEM update at the Committee of the Whole meeting in May. So that concludes my superintendent's report this evening. Any questions?
Thank you, Dr. Cajun. Do we have a motion to approve and accept the superintendent's report? Mrs. Muley, second. Mr. Burns? Sam?
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mr. Fury?
Yes.
Mr. Gardner?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Percy?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
That brings us to our public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allowed a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by participants to a 3 to 5 minute duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by an individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of, any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items that are included in this agenda only, please. Does anyone have any comments on the agenda? Seeing no one, we'll move on to the Manasquan general items. Item number 10, you should do that separate, right?
Yes, Mr. Gross?
Yes.
Is there a motion for number
10? Do I have to read the whole thing? No. Do we have a motion for item number 10, which is the recommended approval of the adoption of the final 15-16 Manasquan School District budget? Mr. Catan, a second?
Second.
Mr. Serino? Any discussion? Sandy?
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
Is everyone okay with lumping together items number 11 through 19? Okay, do we have a motion to approve items number, I'm sorry, Mr. Pearson?
Will I include 19?
Will I include 19?
Yes.
Yes, certainly.
It's a Manasquan plan. A includes the elementary school.
Number 19 is a Manasquan only vote, correct?
Yes, just Manasquan.
Correct. It's not one of the four, as Mr. Gross would say, if I let him talk right now, it's not one of the four instances where the Senate districts permitted to vote. Is
that correct? Exactly what I would have said.
I thought so. So, number 11 through 19, everyone's okay? Do we have a motion for items 11 through 19? Mr. Serino, do we have a second? Mrs. De Palma, any discussion on any of these items?
So with 19, if this, right now we're just trying to, this is we're approving turf instead of grass or grass instead of turf.
Correct. This is to approve what Garrison represented so that we can send the plan to the state to see what is qualifying and what isn't. Correct.
And we still have the ability to, if yes. If we decided that we need to take things out, we still could do that, correct?
Yes. This motion is only to authorize the professionals to proceed using Plan A at this point.
As the
plan presented. Yes.
If I may?
Sure.
I think that's a profound question. And I really would like to have more a definitive answer. Hypothetically speaking, after this is approved, before it goes to the state for approval, that's when the total project has to be decided on.
Sure.
So if anything had to be taken out, it would have to be taken out before we send that for approval to the state.
Well, you could always resubmit it to the state again.
But then, yes, I'm clear. So then it would have to be resubmitted. That's the point I'm trying to get to.
Okay. My question was, and I asked Lynn some questions today that I think the answer is that it's not as easy to calculate. But my question would be, like, we have the numbers now. If I had some questions of if certain items were taken out, and if we were able to plan them at a different time, what would be the impact if that item was taken out? And what Lynn and I talked about was different items have different impacts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously some things cannot be taken out because they connect with the project. But if there were things that could be done at a later date, what would be the impact? Is it a savings of $5? Is it a savings of $50 in the tax impact? So those were some of the questions that I have.
So what I think, what I would like to do, Lynn, you look at me and let me know if this is feasible, is as we approve this and as we prepare the document to go to the state, there's a deadline when we have to have that document to the state, but I still think it affords us the opportunity to take your questions, send them to our professionals, and come back to the May Committee of a Whole and
with those
get the
answers
to those questions. And then if you decide you want to take things out, as you prepare that document to go to the state, because what I want to avoid is more than one submittal.
Mm-hmm.
Because that just pushes us
back, and it's
a red flag to the state as well. Mm-hmm. So, and then we'll get that document ready to prepare for June, because I believe in June it has to go into the state for the deadline. So is that feasible?
Yes, but we would have to be told exactly what you would like to have
pull
out.
Okay.
And I think that's very transparent as well. I think that's a good process as
well. Okay. Should we do that now or do that later?
Well, what you could do is send it to us and we'll prepare it for the Committee of a Whole in May.
Excellent.
Nobody to read for a moment. There you go.
Anybody else? Sandy.
Mr. Burns.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mr. Clayton.
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Mueling.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Carried.
For the Massapequa Sanding District items number 20 through 31. Does anyone need anything separated out? 20 through 31. Seeing no one, do we have a motion for 20 through 31?
Motion.
Mrs. Mueling. Second. Mr. Fury. Any discussion on any of these items? Sandy?
Mr. Burns.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mr. Clayton.
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma.
Yes. Sorry.
Mr. Fury.
Yes.
Mr. Gardner.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Mueling.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Percy.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Carried.
Thank you. That brings us to old and new business. Does anyone have any old business they'd like to discuss?
I do have one thing, if I may.
Of course.
I just wanted to update the board on the Sustainable Jersey Grant. We discussed this last week at our Committee of the Whole meeting, and I did receive a letter yesterday from the Sustainability Institute, the College of New Jersey, from co-directors Donna Drews and Randall Solomon. And it says, "Dear Ms. Coates, congratulations. We are pleased to inform you that your application to our EDF Fellow Technical Assistance Program for the summer of 2015 has been accepted. This technical assistance program has been made possible through generous funding provided by New Jersey Natural Gas. As summarized in the application, this program will provide you with on-site technical assistance to help identify opportunities to improve the energy performance of your district's buildings and to help implement projects that will capitalize on identified advancements. An EDF fellow will be assigned to support you and a neighboring district for 10 weeks starting in early June 2015, with the EDF fellow splitting their time between school districts. The fellow will also be able to assist you in preparation of your Sustainable Jersey for Schools Energy Action submissions. Thank you for applying to this exciting new program. We're looking forward to working with your district this summer."
Thank you.
Does anybody else have any old or new business? We're on to new business.
I think that the app would be fantastic. I know that the elementary school PTO is already utilizing Shopperoo, which is more of a receipt-driven. You shop at different places, and they're getting a lot of money for the PTO to donate for the kids. I would encourage the high school PTO to do the similar thing. And this would be something that I think that as a community, they would be right on board with. There's that. Amazon Prime is also another thing that you can go into Amazon and you could put in who you want to fundraise for, being the PTOs or the school district. That's also something that people can do in the community as well. So I think, as I said, people are already doing it.
Costco has a program too.
Yeah, it's great. And I think with everybody's already doing it, I think this one extra thing would take them a second, and I'm sure you would get a lot of support.
Good, thank you.
Anyone else have anything? So you know, and that brings us to our second public forum. Would anybody from the public like to be heard on anything? Sure, come on up.
Hi.
Hello.
My name is Tracy Dean. I'm from Delmar.
If you just come up to the microphone and just your name and address is all we need. Thanks.
Tracy Bean, 612 16th Avenue in Delmar. I'm here with my son, Max. My son, Max, is enrolled in an accredited school online, and he's been doing it for a number of years now. And the last 3 years, he's been on the Delmar Elementary School wrestling team. Next year, we would like to be on the Manasquan wrestling team. I had reached out afterwards. He did very well this year. He's district champion, I'm very proud to say. And we met with Coach Boskian, who I really, really like him as a coach. And I really want him, you know, and my son to be under his tutelage. And I've talked to him a number of times. I reached out to the superintendent a couple of times. I wasn't able to talk to him, but a gentleman did contact me back and say that homeschoolers were not allowed to be on the Manasquan team because of policies. So my husband had emailed him and asked him for the specific policies. You guys do have two different policies when it pertains to homeschoolers, and the one policy, Max is, his credentials meet to be able to wrestle for Manasquan according to that policy. He is enrolled in a school, he is enrolled in a nationally accredited school. He does meet all the requirements, I believe grade-wise, he's been getting straight A's by national standards. And he is currently actually taking high school courses. So he did just turn 14, so if he were enrolled in school, he would be a freshman next year. And so I would just like, you know, everyone's thoughts or, you know, how it goes, because there are the two policies and they do conflict. And the one says he can be on as long as he is enrolled in a school, which he is enrolled in.
Who's going to
do it? Sure.
Yeah, under the New Jersey law, certainly students who are homeschooled, there's a district by district determination as to whether they will permit students to participate in extracurricular activities. So there's no entitlement under the law for you to participate if you choose to homeschool your child. But as some districts permit students to participate, even if they are homeschooled, on a district-by-district basis. So what would probably need to happen is if you'd want to make an application, the board would have to actually change the one policy that you don't meet in order to, even if they wanted to do that, they would have to make change to their current policy. So my suggestion would be that if you make a written application to the board, asking them to change their policy, they would then go through the process of determining whether or not they are willing to change their policy. Now, it wouldn't be just for your family or your son. It would be a policy-wide, district-wide decision to make, basically opening extracurricular activities open to all homeschool children.
Right. Okay. Well, there are the two different, though, policies.
I understand.
Well, which one are you following?
Well, the one that he's not qualified, my understanding is right now he is prohibited from participating.
Well, it doesn't say that, though, no. Because you blatantly have two different policies, and one he is fine under. The other one, it just said, if you're homeschooled, absolutely not. The other right. one says, if you're homeschooled and enrolled in a school, you are allowed to. So
I guess your application would be you're trying to apply under the one policy you think he fulfills.
Yes, because he is enrolled in a school. Okay. It doesn't say anything on your policy about, like, we have, again, since he is under this, you know, nationwide thing, we have all his transcripts, we have all his grades, we have everything. you know, with us. It doesn't mention anything in your policy about that. Mm-hmm. All it says is if you're homeschooled and enrolled, then you can participate.
I would have to take a look at the difference in those two policies, certainly, but it's my understanding that under the current determination of the administration is it would not be fulfilled at this point in time.
Right.
So but, you're only so following one, you're not following the other?
They're following both, and therefore, since it doesn't apply, since you don't meet the requirements under both policies the way they were drafted, and again, policies evolve over time, and perhaps even, and again, I didn't see which one was enacted first, and these may have been things that have been enacted years before, so obviously this board for this school year and next would then make a determination. That's why I'm suggesting what you would do is to send in your request to basically have him meet the policies. The board would then have to have a discussion as to whether or not they want to clarify, using a better term perhaps than having to change it, but clarify as to whether he would meet both policies at this point in time.
All right, so again, what is there an application process, or do I just write a letter to each member of the board?
No, I think a letter to the administration setting forth your request for that a policy exception is really what, or change. I think you're looking for a policy change to the one that he doesn't meet that criteria on.
All right.
Again, I don't have the two policies in front of me. I'm sorry.
I could get them for you.
I'm sure I can. Oh, I can get them too. I just don't have them right now.
I have them right now.
Okay.
If you would like them.
Okay.
I have them.
That's okay. No, I'll get them. You can give them to me if you want. It's okay. That's fine. But again, procedurally, the board certainly couldn't make a decision tonight because
right.
they'd have to decide whether they're going to change their policy or not. And that could be done, again, if you want to make a written request to that, or I'm sure the administration will bring that up at this point in time at the appropriate point with the board to see whether they want to make the policy fit. But again, it wouldn't fit just for you and your family. It would fit for
right.
for everyone under those circumstances.
All right, so write a letter then is what you're saying.
I think that would be a good start, yes.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you. Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
Susan Greenwald Gilbert, and I'm from Spring Lake. And I'm sorry I was not able to attend the presentation last Saturday because I was out supporting the track team. Thank you for your email.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
I'm very interested, as I'm hearing lots of other parents talking about the long-awaited, hopefully, keeping our fingers crossed, project of the redoing of the fields. And speaking of, on behalf of the good for all, I don't know and have not seen if there is a schematic laying out exactly what is proposed. I've heard about the turf versus the grass, but I haven't seen anything drawn up, and I apologize for being late, but I don't know if there is any documents that I could look at.
If you went to the to the school website,
it's on the website
and it's under, there's a referendum tab that you can click on. It'll show you exactly what's proposed.
Some of the rumors are that there is or is not going to be a track.
In the plan, there is a track for training purposes, but there's not an oval. Right.
Is that because of space prohibited?
Correct. And the changing of surfaces and all the things that we've been dealing with over the years, plan-wise. There's no perfect plan that allows us to have baseball, an all-purpose field, and an oval track without the constant change in surface.
Does the parking lot remain where it is?
There is a reconfiguration of the parking lot.
So what would be the size of the oval or track?
It's not an oval, yeah.
What is the shape?
Without looking at it right in front of me now, I don't know exactly the size. But it's been it was discussed with the track coaches and the athletic director, and they feel that it's suitable, much better than the situation we have today as far as training our athletes.
Because there are a number of kids that are experiencing injuries, I'm sure, that, you know, and obviously any sport inherent.
Well, I mean, one of the purposes of the plan and the referendum, inside and outside of the facility, is to upgrade it for safety reasons.
So what would the surface be, then, of the training track?
It'll be a regular running track surface.
It would be.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Seeing no one else, executive session. Whereas Senator Byron M. Bear Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides that the Manasquan Board of Education may hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or one of the 9 subject matters listed in Section 12B of the Act. And whereas it is recommended by the superintendent that the Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, it should be shorter than that, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas the board hereby declares that its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Manasquan Board of Education shall go into executive session to discuss the following items. Number 4, collective bargaining, which will be an update on negotiations meetings that we've had. And number 7, litigation or contract matters or attorney-client privilege, which deals with a pending litigation, and that would be an update for that. There will be no action taken after the executive session this evening, so for the public portion of the meeting. Do we have a motion to go into executive session? Mr. Fury, do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Serino, all those in favor?
Aye. Are we doing MEA first? Frank, are we doing MEA first?
Yes.
I'll stay out here.
Okay. Oh, of course.